See, I thank God this is not me up here. I wouldn't be here. If it was just me, I wouldn't be here. I'd be at home in the bed, like I used to be, old flesh lay in the bed. And I was getting what the flesh would get. I was reaping to the flesh death, stress, worry. This is what not spending time with God equals. Amen. It equals death. The wages of sin. Sin is just missing the mark. Man, if you're missing God, you're missing the mark. Amen. Now, we're saved from sin, but that doesn't mean we can't sin. Because the flesh is always wanting to take opportunity to sin. We're not talking about rejecting Jesus. We're just talking about not obeying His word. Amen. And God wants us to be still and know that I am God. Now, that's the title of the message, but that doesn't mean just be still 24/7. Be still means to hear from God in your spirit. Be still. Shut your mind off when you got a situation, or just you got to operate in your soulless realm. But God doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks from your spirit. Yes. God is a spirit. We worship Him not from our mind, but in our spirit man. Yes. The spirit man. That's the real you. That's Psalms 46:10. Pull that up on the screen, Kelsey, and we'll read it together. How'd you say that read? Responsive reading. That's what that's called? Let's do some more responsive reading. Psalms 46:10. You ready? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's God speaking. I approve that message. Amen? Yes. He's not going to be. He will be. Yes. Amen? He don't have to run for office. He is the office. He created the office. He created the fivefold ministry. Amen? He perfected it forever. Talking about Jesus. He gave gifts unto men. This ain't my gift. This is His gift to you. This is our gift to you. Amen. Be still and know that He is God. What has He said? That's the best thing to do. What has His word said? We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And then we're going to go back and break it down a little bit. 2 Timothy, this is Paul was just talking in Acts, talking about wolves coming in. He was admonishing Timothy. Paul didn't have children, but he did. I got many fathers. I got Dr. Gary Price, Jim Howard. I can call Lewis and Reed because they're a little bit older than me, so I can call them my fathers, right? Fathers in the faith. My natural father, he didn't know nothing about faith, but that doesn't mean I give up. God's always trying to get His kids trained and taught the Word of God. Amen. This also, but know this, that in the last days, this is Paul speaking to Timothy here, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such, Paul says, turn away. Just turn away from them. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loading them down with sins led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in the Bible, Jesus said in the last days, knowledge will increase more and more. But knowledge without truth won't do nothing but puff you up. It's called pride. You got to have a balance. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have Jesus in the Spirit, the Word in the Spirit working in you. Now, as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, Paul talking to Timothy, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, my perseverance, the persecutions, the afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Amen. Out of them all, He delivered me. Amen. Paul didn't say I didn't go through something, but God delivered me. And we're not talking about sickness, we're talking about persecutions for the gospel, for preaching the gospel. He was beaten, whipped, chained, put in prison. Yes, and all who desire to live godly, you might just put your hand up and surrender, because we're in the army of the Lord. We want to live godly. And it's a good thing, it's a God thing, but it's going to, those who live will suffer, live godly, you will suffer persecution. Because we're in the last of the last days. When Paul was writing this, it was the last days, because Jesus said, Antichrist is already in the world. But he's speaking of a day too, also that's right upon us. Amen. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, I'm looking at you guys now, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I'm going to say the same thing Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul, listen to Paul's heart. You follow me, Timothy, as I follow Christ. In other words, you get in the scriptures and you make sure that's truth and that's not error. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. How important it is to teach our children the Word of God. I wasn't taught the Word. If I would have been, how much better I would have been to be able to know error and truth. Amen? That's what the Word does. Which are able to make you, talking about the Holy Scriptures, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How do we get wisdom? Who is the manifold wisdom of God? Jesus. Don't come to me looking for all the wisdom. Now, I can give you some, but Jesus has it all. I can direct you, I can guide you, I can counsel you, but He is your counselor. Never take me above Christ. Amen? Because He's going to counsel you. He's going to teach you the Holy Ghost. All Scripture, and this is our text, this is where we come from last week. I gave you, at the end of the conclusion, I said, how does He teach you? How will He correct His children? The answer was, He'll be through His Word, not by sickness, not by disease, not by punishment. He'll correct you through the Word. And this is what Paul says here in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, that the woman of God may be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. There's some people out there looking for some good things from God. We're teaching you here and we're training you here. You're that vessel to bring Him honor in the earth, to bring Him glory in the earth. Amen. To honor His name, not defame or blaspheme His name. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. You got to get your mind still and hear from the Lord. We must offer ourselves as an example worthy of salvation. We got to be that living sacrifice Romans talks about. We got to lay ourselves on the sacrifice, a living sacrifice, present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice. Verses 10 through 17, the Scriptures don't just contain, this Bible just doesn't contain God's words. This is God speaking to you. I believe it was Marilyn Hickey said, this is God speaking personally to you. The book, this Word, this Bible is God speaking to you. Somebody says, well, God ain't never spoke to me. There's a whole book here of His words. You'll stand before God, that person will stand before God and say, well, God, you never spoke to me. He said, do you know how many Bibles are published in the United States of America? You can find this book somewhere. This is God speaking to you. But you've got to do something. You've got to open it up and you've got to read it. God's not just going to pour Himself upon you. Amen? Now, He wants to. He wants to fill you with overflowing. But you got to open your mouth. You got to eat this Word. Just like you eat your favorite delicacy when you leave here. And a lot of times I don't make it to dessert because I always eat too much of the main course. This phrase, the phrase given by inspiration of God, is a compound Greek word comprised of theos, and I'm not sure about this, P-N-E-O. theos and pneo. According to Strong's concordance, the word theos means deity, especially the supreme divinity. And the word pneo means to breathe hard. Therefore, the word theo, neo, literally means God. This is inspired. This is God breathed. He breathed upon men, moved upon men by the Holy Ghost, breathed his spirit upon them, and they spoke inspired by that breath, a hard breath. Remember one time God blew and he parted the Red Sea. What do you think he could do to a flesh body? It's called the anointing come upon you, and the words of God come, be inspired, come out of you. That's how Jesus was conceived into this earth, by the word of God, spoken by prophets of old, men and women, moved upon by the Holy Ghost. A virgin shall conceive and give birth. That was spoken by God, inspired by God through a person. A person, a prophet, that had to be willing to speak that. That sounded stupid, impossible. A virgin's going to give birth? That's impossible. Speak it. My checking account, I don't have the money. Speak, give. Trust in God. Just don't give if you don't trust God to meet your needs. If you're not trusting God, you're going to give your money away if you're not trusting Him. Amen. You need to give believing. Amen. Amen? Believing. That's what the Bible tells us. If we give our body to be burned and don't do it in God's unconditional love, it ain't going to profit you nothing. You're just giving your body away. You got to believe giving. Amen? Believing in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Josephus, a non-Christian historian of the first century, said the rabbinical teaching was that the Spirit of God, just talking about this God, how we got our words here, that the Spirit of God rested on and in the prophets and spoke through them. Now this is a non-Christian telling you what happened. And that their words did not come from themselves. These words are not coming from me today. What God, some of them are, but they're inspired by Him. He's not going to speak through my mouth. He's going to inspire my words to you. But they came from the mouth of God. See, God's a spirit. Amen. And you're a spirit being. And they spoke and wrote in the whole, with the Holy Spirit. The early church was entirely in agreement with this. With this view. Despite the human instruments God used. Talking about Peter. Talking about John. Talking about all the disciples are instruments. The scriptures are just as if God had spoken them directly. See, Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him, but Jesus didn't give up on Peter because he saw past the flesh to the heart of Peter. Peter was different than John. I'm different than Reed. Reed's different than Mark. See, we're different, but God's word is the same. Breathed in you, received in you, spoken from you is going to be different, but the same. It's going to have the same power, but you're going to say it different. You're going to minister it different, how God uses you. Yes. Amen? If I was God, I wouldn't use me. I like to mow yards. I like to work on appliances, you know. But God said, I need somebody to sell this gospel to the world that'll believe it. He said, at one time he told me, he said, when I was in retail, he said, I've made you to be a salesman. He said, now take my gospel and sell it to the world. That encouraged me to where I was at was where he needed me. Not only was I good at selling things, now I'm good at fixing things. He said, well, now take my word and go fix my people. Go teach my people faith. There's a lot of people out here, church people, that's broken, that need to be fixed. I can't fix them, but God can. Amen. And if you'll be willing and obedient to do what he needs you to do, he'll fix you in the process. Yeah. Amen. I didn't say that was good. I like that. God's fixing me in the process. See, get your eyes off of yourself and start helping somebody else, and you'll get fixed in the process. Amen? Amen. That's a good way to live your life. Paul said, it's not me that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by my faith, but by His faith. Right. And that's helping people. That's helping people that don't look good, don't smell good, don't act good. That's the people Jesus wants us to reach. And it ain't easy. Your flesh wants to turn away from that. But the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to draw you to Him. And all you got to do is open your mouth and let the words of life come. There's a song we're going to sing at the end talking about come. See, not only are you hearing this here today, this is going to be on the internet. Man, I was touched by radio. When I was hungry and seeking after God, just everything, it seemed like you were trying to find him. You turn something on and there'd be the word coming through the radio. I'm like, through Andrew Womack, a guy from Texas, a hick from Texas is what he calls himself. He said, how could God use a hick from Texas? That man, just now, his ministry is exploding. Bible college. It's not his, it's Karis. It's called Grace. It was all God's plan. But he had to use Andrew. And I tell you what, you listen to some of his testimonies, his life wasn't pretty. He was kidnapped at one time. A lot of things he went through. He endured hardness as a good soldier, Paul said, knowing that God had called him to go to Rome. See, God had showed Andrew, you're going to have a worldwide ministry. He held on to that vision. What has God showed you? Hang on to your vision. Be still and know that God can help you get that vision and bring it to pass. I see God showed me teaching people faith, having a healing school. See, I got to hang on to that vision, and the people's going to come in because I can't do it all. But God's called me to do that. There's people that need to know teaching on healing, teaching on finances. See, we need all of this to live a balanced life. You just can't live off corn and potatoes. We could try pretty hard, right? There's more out there. God's got more in store for you and me than what we're experiencing. Amen? What was the name of that movie we laughed? What was the title of that movie, Kelsey, last night? You remember? Miracles from Heaven. Has anybody seen that movie about the little girl that fell down the tree? Good movie. Good movie. Miracles from Heaven. God's got more in store for us. The Word, now, we're going to break down 2 Timothy 3:16 here, and it ain't going to take us too long. Because we're talking about God wants to correct us and help us through His Word, to get us healed through His Word, prosper us spiritually, emotionally, and financially through His Word. And all we have to do is conceive it, believe it, act on it, and then He does it. It manifests in our lives. Healing will manifest. Opportunities will manifest. You'll be walking at the right place, like Valerie gave testimony Wednesday, and they were like offering her a job. See, people are seeing something on the inside of you that just the world ain't out there doing. We can see excellence in people. But the word doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16, it implies a systematic or organized information or beliefs. This is what the word do. It benefits you for correction and teaching. God's word has to be the foundation of all that we do, of all our belief system. See, a philosophy is a way of thinking. This is the way I think now. In other words, Jesus said, if somebody spits on you, I'm thinking, well, don't spit back. Bless them. Curse not. See, my that's not what my mind is thinking, but that's what my spirit's thinking. Now, I got a choice. Here's your choice, life or death. Now, depending on the situation, if he's got a knife coming at me, that's not spit. See, that's different. I got the name of Jesus. I don't have a gun, but I got a sword. I got the Word of God. I can speak against that, you know, however the Lord ministers to you. But we've got angels right there to protect us, too. I can call upon the name of Jesus. They're my guard. They're my protection. But when I'm preaching the gospel and somebody spits on me for the gospel's sake, I'm going to wipe it off and bless you in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't have to stand there and keep spitting them. I'll go on to the next person. Amen? But see, I got to let my mind get out of the way. And what does the Word say? Because the devil don't like us. And he's in people. He has to inhabit a body to get his work done. But we got something for him. We got authority over him. Amen? We got authority over the devil. This is what the Word teaches us. This is what Jesus taught us. It has to be our foundation. Therefore, it is the basis of all our refuting of error. In other words, it's the basis of how we prove something wrong. This is how we discern right or wrong. Reproof, the word reproof in the Greek means conviction. The word is here to convict us. Not to convict you of how bad you are, but convict you of how good God is. See, I learned this. The Holy Spirit, His ministry is not a ministry of condemnation. It's a ministry of life. And if condemnations come in, when you do something wrong, if you hear like, well, you know, you old sorry thing, that's the devil. That's not the ministry of conviction. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort you and to encourage you and lift you up and let you know how good you are because of the way God created you. He's there to convict you of Jesus. Amen? And that'll pull you up instead of beat you down. And if you're listening to somebody or on radio or TV that's preaching the gospel and beating you down, that's not from God. Just got to be honest. It's not from God. God will correct you. He'll correct you through the Word. The root meaning of reproof means to confute or to admonish. God's Word is profitable for rebuking sin and error. We've got to judge that. If there's error, we've got to judge it. We've got to correct that. Amen? Correction is good. Coming from God. Amen. If we don't correct our kids, the Bible says we're man, you got to correct them so they'll know right from wrong. We're talking about what the Word can do for us, what God's Word can do for us if we will only turn to Him, turn to His words. That means repent. When we mess up, we still repent. Correction in the Greek means a restoration to an upright or a right state. That's restoration. Get you back up on your feet, to restore somebody. Improvement of life and character. That's what to restore is for. Anybody restored any old cars? Or actually restore it back to life. I used to have a 1967 GTO. I'd love to have one to restore now, because you bring it back to the way it was it made in 1967. God, through Jesus, God brought us back to relationship with Him through His Word. You are not that ugly, filthy rags anymore. You went from rags to riches. Amen. Amen. You've been clothed with a robe of righteousness. You are in right standing with God. He restored you to perfection. Amen. Yes. That's what He done in your spirit, not in your flesh. That's what He done in your spirit, man. And you got to know that. You got to believe that. And then walk. You'll walk upright. You'll have boldness on the inside of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not going down. I'm going above this situation. I'm not going 6 feet under. I'm going to live a long, satisfied life. I'm going to help somebody. I can't help somebody in the ground on the earth. Amen? I'm not telling you we're not going to die, but you ain't got to die young. You don't have to die sick. We don't have to die poor. We don't die. We just go on. See, we have everlasting life now. We have a relationship with God. In Him, there is no death. He's not the author of death. I'm not looking at dead people out here. Amen? I'm looking at people that have a purpose. God-given purpose. Help somebody. Protect somebody. Serve somebody. Wash somebody's stinking feet. Amen? That's what Jesus did. Wash their feet if you have to. Thank you, Lord. Correction might involve reproof, but correction goes a step further. Think about a correctional officer. If they would do it God's way, and we got one in here. Not just saying one, but Jack works in that environment in the correctional. He's getting the Word of God. See, he's getting the foundation we're talking about first. See, Jack, man, he's got a vision. He's fired up. But and we all at that place when we first get born again, we're ready to tackle the world for Jesus. He's like, slow down. You need a foundation. You need a training. You need to be taught. Get underneath somebody that's been through the tricks and deceptions of the devil. And learn of Jesus. Okay? Because he wants a soldier out there that knows how to wear the uniform. Amen? You got to know how to wear it before you wear it. You know what I mean? You got to know the law to be a law officer. You got to know, right? You just can't go search somebody's car unless you have, help me, reasonable evidence or reasonable probable cause. See, I know a little bit of the law. I know a little bit of my rights. But first thing I'm going to do, when I see the blue lights, I say, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. See, I'm calling out for mercy and favor. See, I call upon God because He speaks to the spirit of man. But correction goes a little bit further than reproof. It not only exposes the wrong, which is a rebuke, but it also brings the individual receiving the correction to a better state, which a rebuke will not always do. You just can't tell somebody how sorry they are and then not tell them about how good Jesus is. Amen? I say it this way. Don't point the finger, point the way. Jesus is the way. Don't point fingers, because if you point fingers, you might as well turn to and point at yourself. Don't judge, but then also discern through the Holy Ghost how you can correct this person if they're a brother. Now, if they're not born again, your correction ain't going to amount to nothing. You got to get them, you got to preach the gospel if they're not born again. We're talking about if you want to correct somebody through God's word, they got to be born again or they're not even going to hear the word. This is for Christians. Amen. This is for us, those that are saved. And also the word is given for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness. There are two types of righteousness. This is in Romans 10:3. The word of God is profitable for instruction us in both types. It will teach us about our right position in Christ, in our authority, and it will, which is a product of our faith in Him. And it will also teach us how to relate to our fellow man with right actions. See, there's a spirit of man, and there's a spirit of God. See, the spirit of Christ is on the inside of you once you get born again, but then your born again spirit, once you get saved, gets changed. It's your human spirit and the spirit of Christ on the inside of you. And your will is the determining factor what you'll decide. And if you decide to go with your mind instead of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, you can get into error. Amen. And this is critical when you're going to correct somebody. You want to make sure you correct them correctly. Amen. And that's going to take, be still and know what the Lord's saying. You might not have the answer right then. You might have to say, plan a get-together to get back with that person, because you need to hear from God. That's what's going to bring that person back to the right state. In closing, let's finish with verse 17. Verse 17. Paul said all that and said, he said all that to say this, that the man of God, that the man, woman of God, man of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. That's why Paul told Timothy, don't put somebody that's not trained a lot in a position of authority quickly, because he can get into error. The devil's out there. The devil wants you to get puffed up in pride, because he knows in pride you're operating in your sense knowledge instead of the Spirit of God. And that can, you can say things with good intentions, but it's not a God thought. In other words, you know what you would like to happen, but so you got to hear from the Spirit of God to know. See, he knows all the intentions of the heart. I don't. And he will only reveal to me what he thinks I need to know about that person, even if he reveals anything. But if the person has an open heart, see, if their will is to get better, then God will reveal something to me. How can that person do better at this? And see, that's what the pastor, that's what the gifts are for, is to feed the flock what you need. Amen? I believe this is something I need and you need today. Coming off the sovereignty of God, and I'm going to put that in a series, but if you needed last week's message, the CDs are out there. But this is what God's word correction, the word, will do for you. I can learn it through the word instead of learning what happened to, we hear good testimonies made from Pastor Lewis or Reed, or your testimony of what God brought you through something. When I hear that, and then I hear you say, and this is how God helped me through that, if I'll hear that and understand that, when the temptation comes for me to maybe have to go through that, I don't have to go through it. I remember what Michelle said, what Mark said. I'm going to do that. And the quicker you do that, the quicker you're walking above the situation. You don't have to go through that mess. Amen? That's what all these examples were written for us, so that we can see that adultery is bad. Stealing's bad. That's what the law was for. And then the grace comes in to say, even when you're tempted to do that, even if you've done that, you're forgiven. Because Jesus never did it. Never will. And he set us free from that. Amen? In closing, verse 17, the English word perfect is translated from the Greek word, and it means complete. Perfect just means you're complete. I think of a marriage, a husband and wife. Neither one of them are perfect, but they complete each other. Neither one of them is going to do things right, but we're not there for perfection. We're there to complete one another. My strengths with her weaknesses working together makes a complete union. And then God in the center of it all helps us through. He's the cord that holds us together. Amen? That's what complete means. It's often used to refer to maturity or sufficiency. Paul was saying that God's word will make us complete. I always think about Aunt Jemima complete pancake because it's sitting on my cabinet this morning. You know, that stuff will make things good in your life. Amen. Good pancakes with a side of bacon or sausage. Man, it's a complete breakfast. You just don't have the pancakes without something. Amen. Well, why would I want to take anything less than what Jesus gave me? He is the complete package.
Amen.
Amen. He was opened up for us all on the cross. He was ashamed. I mean, he was destroyed. His life was an open book, and there was nothing there the devil had. He laid it down for us. He opened up his life and gave it to us so that we can in turn just receive it. Just receive it. It's a free gift. Paul was saying God's word will make us complete, mature, and sufficient for every good work. And that's a powerful statement. Many people teach that God's word isn't enough to complete spiritual growth. They say believers have to suffer and to be tried, go through the fire before you can be called a saint. No, Jesus walked in the fire with three Hebrew boys and got them out. Had it not been for Jesus, they wouldn't have lasted through the fire. Amen. We can't go through the fire without Jesus. That's not what the verse is saying. God's word is capable of making his people perfect in every area, spirit, soul, and body. It's already been done. Is that to say that we learn and are perfected only through God's word? No, you can go through something and learn something. You can make a mistake and learn something and hopefully learn not to make that mistake again, right? But there's a better way. There's a higher way. It's God's way. And it's a good way. It's a good way to live your life. Certainly not. Most of us have learned by hard knocks and we'll probably still learn. But God's word is able to complete us in every area without those heartaches. Without the heartaches. If we would let God's word do its work. We can either learn through God's word or we can learn by mistakes. The Lord maketh thee rich, and he has no sorrow with it. You want to learn the way? That's God's way. He'll make your life rich, and there's no sorrow in it. There's no heartache in it. The choice is ours. The better choice is to learn through God's word. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And that's Romans 5:3. See, that doesn't mean we glory with sickness and disease. We glory in these tribulations knowing I'm being persecuted for the word's sake. This is coming upon me because I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. If you're not suffering persecution, you might want to check your love walk. Are you doing what God's called you to do? Because those that live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And don't think it's a bad thing when you suffer. That means I'm living godly. That means when you're suffering persecution, people are saying you're one of those Jesus. You're wearing those Jesus sandals. You know, you're looking like you're all clean and holy and say nothing arrogant to them. That's when you say on the inside, I thank you, Jesus. They see it. They see me. They see you in me. See, that's a good compliment. They see Jesus in you. Paul had just expressed the joy that he had concerning the second coming of Christ. That's what he was saying. And the glory that would be revealed in us. Anybody can rejoice about heaven. We can go and read the scriptures about heaven. You can rejoice about heaven. But here Paul began to say that he had that same rejoicing in the midst of tribulation. In the midst of tribulation. You got to look past the suffering and look to the joy that's on the inside of you. That held Jesus on that cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured all that. Because man, he saw us all together back in heaven. He saw all those saints coming home that suffered all that persecution for his name's sake. Amen. This is something that very few people can say. And Paul was presenting this as a direct result of being justified by faith. He could rejoice because he had been justified. Just if I had never persecuted or killed all those Christians prior before being born again, I can rejoice. In concluding today, when we believe that God loves us because of our faith in him, not because my faith. When we believe that God loves us because of our faith in him and not because of our performance for him, then we rejoice not only in the good times, but help me, and the pleasant things, but in the bad times. We can rejoice with unspeakable joy, even in the hard times. As we play this song, if you've got any requests that you need before the Lord, we're going to open up this time for prayer. I just felt this song in my spirit, in my heart, and as Kelsey plays the song, I want you to come down. Because what you're doing, you say, Pastor, well, we've got to come down. Because you're taking out a step of faith. You're making a step of faith of what you've heard today. And God meets you there at that point. And He knows what you need when you need it. And not only does He know, but He always causes us to triumph, to have the victory. Amen. Darius is getting victory this morning.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven.